Wait 1 second. Recording. There we go. Up to it. We're ready.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. Welcome to a new section in the Rambam's Seder Zmanim. Hilchos Tanis. In the Rambam La'am, it's the last section.
Okay.
The last section. It's the page after Tuf Resh Tes Zayin, one with the pictures. Okay. Too far, Martin.
Oh, so it's not Hilchos Megillah Vechanukah.
No. It's not the left. It's towards the end.
Okay,
Tuf Resh Tes Zayin, after the pictures. In the Masnayim text, it's page 12 and 13. Okay. Right? Everyone's got the right book. We're okay.
We're not going to do the intercalations.
That's the old stuff. That's Kiddush HaChodesh.
Yeah, that's good stuff. We can do the intercalations.
We're skipping that. We're leaving the toughest for the last, so we'll be motivated to finish. Okay. Let's just look at the title on the top in the Rambam La'am, and I think you have it on the page before page 12. It says, Mitzvah Saseh Achas. There's only one mitzvah we're going to learn in these five chapters. One biblical mitzvah. To cry out before Hashem in prayer at every time of distress, great distress, which should never come to the tzibur. Okay, that is the one mitzvah. And now we're going to explain this mitzvah in the following chapters. Okay, now we move to page 12 and 13. Mitzvahs asei min ha-Torah. It's a biblical mitzvah from the Torah. Lizok. Lizok means to pray with a loud voice. Ulahariya b'chatzrosos, and to sound the trumpets. I'll call Sara Shetova Letzibor for any distress that comes upon the community. Shenamar, because the Torah says, in the middle of this context, when you go to war, Al Hatzar Hatzorer Eschem, to the oppressor who is oppressing you, v'hareyosam b'chatzrosos. And you will give noise with the chatzos. You'll make sound of the trumpets. Kloimer, what does the pasuk mean to say? Kol dover shiyotzar lochem. Anything that could be presenting itself before you. Kigon, for example, batzores, that should be a famine. Videver, and a pestilence. Va'arba, and a locust destruction. B'kuyetzim, or anything similar to that of a calamitous nature. Zaku aleim, cry out loudly to Hashem over it, v'hariya, and blow the trumpets. And the commentaries bring from the Sifri, the Medrash on Bamidbar, Rabbi Kiva says a whole list of things that could be going on. And we're going to see later on the Rambam, it's not just public nature, even private nature. The skinny one. Okay, even a woman who's having trouble with childbirth, right? How do we know that? So it brings that pasuk to tell you any kind of calamity, and we'll see that individuals, it gets included with them as well. Okay, that's the first halacha. Beis. Now we're going to understand the reason behind the halacha. V'dover zeh midarchei hatshuvahu. And this is one of the pathways, this is a pathway of tshuva. Shebizman shetava tzaro, that when a calamitous event happens to the Jews, and they cry out in prayer, and they blow the trumpets. Yedu hakol, everybody knows. Shebiglal maaseim haroim hura lohem. It's because of their bad deeds, this evil has befallen them. Kakasuv, as it says in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, avonoseichem hitu, your sins have turned away, etc. What's the turning away? The rains and the harvest. It's your sins that have brought you, it says specifically, the next few words, have turned this away. And this crying out, and this blowing the trumpets, will cause to remove this distressing situation from them. That's what the whole idea is. This is important. The idea is to do tshuva. Gimel. Avolim lo yizaku v'lo yiriyu. But what if they don't cry in prayer?
Oh boy.
And they don't blow the trumpets? Ela Yomer, what do they say? That this what happened, it is the way of the world that's happened. Vitzarazo, Nikro, Nikres. And this distressful situation is called a happening, a happenstance.
It happens.
Harezo, look at the language here. Harezo, Derech, Achzorios. This is a pathway of cruelty. Besides being foolish, it's cruel. Vigorem eslam, and what is it going to cause? Lehidabek b'maaseim haroim, to cleave to their evil ways. V'tosif hatzara tzaras acheros, and this calamity will increase into other calamities. How do we know this? Hu shekasuv b'Torah. This is what is written in the Torah. We're now on page 16, I believe.
Yeah,
16 and 17. This was written in the Torah. It's in the curses at the end of Sefer Vayikra. It says, "Valachtem imi bekeri." If you go with me with happenstance, "Valachta gamani imachem b'chamas keri," and I will go after you with an anger of happenstance. Klomer, what is the pasuk meaning to say? "Keshavi aleichem tzara," when I bring you a distressful situation, why is it? "Kedeisha teshuvu," so that you will repent. And im tom rushi care, if you're going to say, well, it's just a natural thing, you know, things happen, not a natural disaster. Osif lachem chamas osi care, I will add to you the anger of more of this happenstance. In other words, I'll bring more of these happenstances for you. So, you know, you live in a world where God is bringing hurricanes and earthquakes and all kinds of incredible natural disasters. And everybody's just wanting to know, how is it on the seismometer in place? And all these other things. And they're not saying, maybe we should do a little tshuva. So that's the cruelty. The cruelty is... What?
This is on Friday. I'm saying every Friday. This is the Yitzhak Hu, Yitzhak Hu.
Right. So that's the cruelty. Why is it cruel? Because you could stop the suffering.
Yes.
Hashem is just doing it to wake you up so that you'll do tshuva. And if someone doesn't want to punish you, can you imagine someone in the middle of the night comes to you and says, you know, I just knocks on the door at 3 in the morning, and you get up and say, what's the matter with you? Why are you waking up 3 in the morning? So I just want you to know that on your roof there's a major fire. You might want to fire a fire. The guy says, you chutzpah, leave me alone, I got to go to sleep. And he slammed the door. And the guy just goes back to sleep. Now, if God forbid that whole house burns down and the little children there who get killed in the fire, chas v'shalom, that's a cruel man. And that's what's going on over here. So therefore, as Jews, we have to understand that we have to cry out in prayer and blow the trumpets. Now, it's very interesting. The Magen Avraham discusses this issue, and he asks a question. He says, I'm amazed why we don't conduct ourselves to blow trumpets when we have terrible occasions. And even if you're going to say, okay, there's a certain concept we'll see later on, that we don't make public fasts, you know, new for new events, in Babylonia, meaning outside of Eretz Yisrael, we don't make public fasts. We haven't even discussed fasting yet, if you notice. Because we're talking about the biblical point now. Fasting becomes the rabbinic issue. But it says, anywhere outside of Eretz Yisrael, we don't make fasts. Yeah? But still, no, there's a biblical mitzvah to blow.
Yeah.
Forget about the fasting. It's a biblical mitzvah. Doesn't say that it's a mitzvah only in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't seem to say when you come to the land that's going to be. So the Ramban as well discussed this issue. And so the Magen Avraham answers, he says, the fact that we don't blow it in France on a fast day, even when there are fast days, because they hold that which they say, there's no public fast in Babylonia, it includes even the prayer and the blowing of the shofar. In other words, he maintains a pshat in the Gemara is that only in Eretz Yisrael do we do these kinds of things. Only near Eretz Yisrael do we blow the shofar. So that's why it's a halacha that is not as applicable nowadays. No, in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael you could do it. I don't know, but you know, there are times when they decree, they don't go full blown yet, you know, but they make half day fasts.
They had a full day fast in Muncie. Remember that whole meat issue? They made a full day fast in Muncie.
But I don't know. Maybe they do pull the chauffeurs. We should check it out.
I mean, I wasn't going to fast it 2 years. I can't remember.
But a regular fast wouldn't. But let's say there's been a drought for a long time in Eretz Yisrael, God forbid. Or let's say during a war, a terrible war. So l'chayrif, at least from the Gemara, I can't say from now times, but in Eretz Yisrael, l'chayrif, you should cry out and pray, and you should blow the shofar. So it's part of the biblical mitzvah. Okay, Dalit. Now we go to the rabbinic level now. When we divrei sofrim, and rabbinically, even though it's not mentioned in the Torah at all, there is a concept, lihisanos al kol tzara shetova latzibur ad sheyeruchamu min hashamayim. Rabbinically, we say we should decree a fast on any calamitous event, as the second chapter will go into the details of what kind of calamitous events we're talking about, that if they come to the congregation, until Hashem shows mercy from heaven and stops the calamitous event. So there's two separate halachas. There's the biblical halacha of praying out and blowing the shofar, and the rabbinic halacha of the fasting. And on these types of fast days, certainly we cry out with prayers and supplications, and we blow the trumpets alone. That's everywhere, except but if the gathering is in the Beis HaMikdash, then merim b'chatzotzos u'b'shofar. You blow the trumpets and the shofar. Where did we have this before? It sounds so familiar. We had this. I think it was with the oval. I think when we were talking about the Yom Kippur during Yovel, I think it was that, because you're going to see what it says. Hashofar mekatzer v'chatzotzos marichos. You blew them together, the shofar and the chatzotzos. But the shofar was shorter and the chatzotzos was longer. Now, you blew them together and then you ended the shofar and you kept going with the chatzotzos. If I'm not mistaken, didn't they say in the Beis HaMikdash?
I think so.
They would blow the shofar and the chatzotzos. Was it for Yom Kippur, Yovel?
But they blow the chatzotzos every day, wouldn't they blow in?
Yeah, but I'm saying together, and then it was the shofar was longer. I think Rosh Hashanah, the chatzotzos in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, and
remember,
Rosh Hashanah,
he had on two sides. The guy was in the shofar in the middle, and the chatzotzos were on each side.
Right, and then it was the reverse halacha. The chatzotzos go shorter, and the shofar goes longer. So, what's the basis for this? And we don't blow both trumpets and a shofar, except only where in the Beis Hamikdash. Shenemar, because the pasuk in Tehillim overtly says this. B'chatzotzos v'kol shofar. Hariel lifnei hamelech. With chatzotzos and the sound of the shofar, we make noise before the king hamelech Hashem. So you see from the pasuk, lifnei hamelech Hashem, before the melech Hashem.
Only a bit of English.
Well, that's obviously the Beis HaMikdash, correct. So therefore we do that. Okay. Now, hey, tanios elu, these fast days, shagor snot tzibur mipnei atzoros, that we decree on the congregation because of the suffering that happens. Eina yom echad. Eino yom achar yom. It's not one day after another day. Rather it is, why? Shein rov atzibri yachon lamud badov razeh. Because most people in the congregation cannot fast more than one day. And we have a rule, we do not make a decree on a congregation unless most of the people can withstand the decree. And there's no way people can fast, it's hard enough one day, let alone 2 days.
That
was an unusual decree. You're right, and that really got people very. It worked, right? Okay, so that's rule number one. So now we have to alternate the days. So how do we alternate the days? When we decree and start fast, we don't start ella except b'sheni b'shabbos. We always start it on a Monday. And then ubehei shalachrov, and then the Thursday afterwards, and then ubesheni shalachrov, and then the Monday back afterwards.
So we still have this thing.
I know that's the acronym for that is behav, because beis is 2 for Monday, hey is 5 for Thursday, and beis again for Thursday. So it's pronounced Monday. Monday. So it's behav. So it's very interesting.
I mean, just the 3 days.
So that's the initial round. We'll see in the later chapters, we'll go into much greater detail on this. But when you're making a special decree, a fast for tzaras, and so that they make it a 3-day thing over this breaks, you know. So now obviously we know that Monday and Thursday are very spiritual days. Shabbos, we don't fast on Shabbos. So it's those 2 days that we make it
from. Fasting 3, it's still a lot. It's nearly half.
It's a lot. So now, the commentaries explain. So why don't we start on Friday? What's wrong? Why can't we start on Friday? Why don't we start on a Monday? It's a very interesting answer. Well, but you're going to be doing it on the second Friday anyway. So Gemara says, because not to wreck the economy. Why? Because you see what's going to happen. Can you imagine what's happening on a Thursday? The people, all the bakers and the people who have stores, people are coming on Thursday night. What are they buying now for Thursday? Pearls. Thursday afternoon. How much are they buying? It's not the regular Erev Shabbos shopping because you had a fast day. So they're buying huge quantities. When you're buying, you know, one for the fast night, the break fast, right? That they didn't eat a whole day, right? And then they're cooking for Shabbos. So you're going to get a run on these stores, and people are going to think, oh, there must be a famine coming up. Why is everybody buying so much? Why is there a run? And then they jack up the prices, because imagine a famine's coming, right? So, or the Rambam explains in his commentary on the Mishnah, he says, so people shouldn't say, listen, must be a Beis Din is seeing that a famine is coming because they wouldn't push us so close to Shabbos. You know, why would we start on Shabbos? It must be it's really serious. And again, it's wrong. It may not be that way. So, so therefore we don't want to alarm and get the prices to be jacked up that way. So therefore we start it with Monday, Thursday, Monday. And then, the Chen al Seder said, and then you continue with this order. Let's say things don't get better. Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni. Again, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Ad sheruchuma. Until Hashem shows mercy on them. So there's a debate in the postgame if it is exactly what the Rambam says or not. Because so far he said first round is Monday, Thursday, Monday. But then when he say again, Monday, Thursday, Monday. It seems there's a break of a Thursday. Others disagree and say, no, just keep going. Monday, Thursday, Monday. Thursday, Monday. Because now you're just continuing. You're not starting at this point. But it's very interesting. The whole concept is, you know, they don't let up. It's not just a one-time fast and get up, good and got a hair and we're finished. If you don't see it's better in a few days, you just keep going. And things like that, you know, it just doesn't get better in one day either. So they set it up as 3-day fast, as we'll see later on. Okay. Now, when do we not make a fast? Halacha vav. We don't decree fast on a congregation, not on Shabbos and not on a Yontiv. Because it's not in the spirit of the holiday. We don't blow the shofar, not the chatzotzos. We don't cry out in prayer. We don't supplicate in prayer. All those things, we don't do any of those things. Unless it's like, because Shabbos is not a day where there's sadness. Shabbos is a day of rest. We don't worry about our tzaras. Ella, with the following exception. If it was a city where the goyim mamash laid siege on the city, that's already desperate times now. You know, there's bad and there's like imminent disaster. It's not like, well, it's bad, you know, there's a hunger coming, it hasn't rained in a long time. Well, why do you got to start it on Shabbos? You know, you could start it on Monday, right? But if, God forbid, the enemy's laying siege and any minute now they can attack, if you wait till after Shabbos to pray, it could be too late, God forbid. So that's one exception. Oh, Nohor, or let's say there's a tidal wave heading for the city, going to knock it out.
Or a flooding river. Right?
Flooding, whatever. Osvina mitarefes bayom, or a boat that is being tossed in the ocean and can sink. The people on the boat would make the fast for themselves. Okay, okay. Avol yoch, and more than this, afilu yochid, even an individual, hanirdof mipnei goyim, mipnei listim, who's being chased by non-Jews or robbers, umipnei roach ra, or some kind of satanic forces. You know, some evil spirits, yeah. Things like that. An individual, mis'anin aleihem, we fast for them, b'shabbos. In other words, friends of theirs, not just them. Friends, if it's a good friend of yours, you'd fast for them. B'shabbos, even on Shabbos. V'zoakinu mis'anin aleihem b'tvila, and you pray strongly, loudly, and you supplicate for them in prayer. Avolein toik, but you can't blow. Elim came toku lekabis on lazor. Unless you're blowing to gather the people to help out, some of those people, Hatsim, to save people. In other words, so let's say that God forbid there's a whole city that's under siege. So yeah, you're going to fast on Shabbos. You're going to pray. You're going to this. You're going to and you'll blow the chatzot just to gather everyone together as quickly as possible. You know they have to gather together. So again, so this is where this concept is. Again, you see clearly from this that we don't want to bring up sad things on Shabbos. That's why you generally shouldn't be saying Misha Berachs for sick people on Shabbos. You know, but you see the exception is if it's very, very dangerous, imminent danger. So that's really, again, why we keep reiterating the Mishnah Berurah is only for very deathly ill people, but not for other people. Zion. V'chein ein gozrim tainis batchila b'rosh chodeshim. We don't start the 3-day rounds on a Rosh Chodesh, or b'chanukah, or on Chanukah, and Purim, or b'chol Shomoid. We don't start it on that, because those days we technically shouldn't begin it. But let's say you started already the series of three. And afilu yom echad, and even for one day. And then let's say you started, for example, Rosh Chodesh is on a Monday. Let's say Rosh Chodesh is on a Thursday. So you started the fast on a Monday. It's fast number one. So then fast number two can be on Thursday already, even though you shouldn't start the... These are not major holidays. We're talking about Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, Chol HaMoed. So that's only if you already started. Upog of Hem Yomilo. And now you bump into one of these days. Then Misanim Mishlamim HaYom B'Tanis. Then you fast and finish up the fast on that day as a regular fast. So that's regarding those. But the other days, Shabbos and Yontif, and those things, they can't even be in the middle of. And that it won't. Shabbos won't be a problem. I guess if they see a Yontif is coming up on a Thursday, they wouldn't start these fasts on a Monday. They'd wait till after the holiday has passed. Ches. Tanios Elu Shemisan HaLetzaris. These fasts that we fast for calamities that happened. A Misanim Behem. The following people are exempt from fasting. Lo Ubaros. Not pregnant women. Velo Menikos. Not nursing women. Velo Ketanim. And not minors. Now, the question is, why do we have to say, and not minors? It's obvious that minors never fast on any fast day. Even on Yom Kippur, they don't fast if you're a minor.
But your little guys fast.
But that's not a halacha. We're talking about halachas here, right? So they never have to fast. So why does Rambam have to say over here now they don't fast? So he says, the commentaries say, perhaps we can be speaking about people. Remember, this is not a regular fast. This is a specially rabbinically decreed fast. So you could say that maybe those minors, when he calls minors, he means even people that are 13 years old, bar mitzvah. As long as they haven't reached the age of being a grown-up and an adult. And that's what he says. The custom had evolved that they wouldn't have young adults fast until they become 18 for men and 15 mm-hmm. for women. All right? So in other words, that's what they're saying. Ketani, meaning ketani, not really a minor, but someone who's younger than a mature adult of 18 or 15. Others say the interpretation is that you don't, that when it means for minors, you don't even have to educate them at all. For example, it's not like Yom Kippur where we train children, even they're under bar mitzvah, to at least fast a few hours. There is such a halacha for Yom Kippur. We train children, even under bar mitzvah, fast a few hours and then spread it out as you get older. But these rabbinically instituted fasts, we mean to say children don't fast at all, not even hours and nothing. That's the second interpretation. Okay. What do you mean, Nidcham? So far, we haven't talked about any fast that we're used to. Not the major tinnuses of Tzom Gedalia, the Shivas Shabbat Thomas. We're not talking about those fasts. We're talking about rabbinic fasts. That's so far the topic so far, rabbinic fasts. And Umutarim Lechol B'Laila, and all these fasts you may eat at night. In other words, they're only day-long fasts. Afal Pi Shemis'anin L'mochar, even though you're going to fast the next day. Now again, he just said we don't fast the next day. But chutz mitanios hamoto, except for fasts over the rain, where what's he saying over here? One second. So you can eat. I mean, the question is,
you can eat at night, but not on the rain.
No, but I'm saying what is the alpha pishim misan l'macher, even though you fast the next day. Oh, it means the night before. You can eat the night before, even though you're going to fast the next day. That's what he's saying.
Except when it's for rain,
then Kamoshi Sparas will explain when you make three fasts, we're on the second round. We'll see later on. We're in the second round of three fasts. Then they're full day 24-hour fasts. But generally, they're not a 24-hour fast. Any fast you eat the night before, bein betzibur, bein biyachud, regardless of a public or private fast day, hareza ochel v'sheisa ad shi'al mer hashachar. You could eat all night long until dawn. But the condition is v'hu shelo yashen, but provide you don't go to sleep, because once you go to sleep, you kind of are saying I'm finished for the night. However, avol im yashan, but if he does go to sleep, ein chol sevarocha, he can't go back and eat, because once he's gone to sleep, that means he's kind of sleeping for the upcoming fast. However, that is only if a person has not made any conditions. If a person makes a precondition before he goes to sleep and says, if I get up in the middle of the night, I want to eat, or I plan on getting up before dawn, then that's okay. And this condition can be verbally or mentally made. And then even if you go to sleep, but if you're going to get up before dawn, you may eat. Tes. Kishem shatzibur nisanim al tzaras. And just like a congregation fasts for their times of distress, kach hayochid nisana al tzaraso. So does an individual fast for his calamities as well. And an example of this was given, the Gemara says, and they use an example of David HaMelech, for a young lad that was sick by David HaMelech, and he fasted for him. So you see that even for individuals, there is an idea of a fast day. Kate said, what do we mean? Let's say there was someone who was sick, otoa b'midbar, or lost in the desert, that's very serious, or in jail. Let's say it's a close relative of yours, good friend of yours. You should fast for him. And ask Hashem for rachmim in your prayers. And when you're doing that, as we'll elaborate on later, you say anenu. We put anenu into our prayers. Behold, tefilah shmispal. Every one of the prayers that you make, okay, in shomayat tefilah, you say anenu for these kinds of fastings, right? Behold, tefilah. You see how much people cared about other people. Your friends in the hospital, he's deathly ill, people would fast and say anenu. V'lo yisana b'shabbos lo b'mados, but don't fast on Shabbos or Yom Tov, v'lo b'rosh ha'chadosh, not in Rosh Chodesh, v'lo b'chanuk v'urim, not in chanuk v'urim. One more, yud. Kol tani shelo kiblo lo v'yoch v'yom, any fast that an individual did not accept upon himself the prior day. Individuals now. Ein atas, that's not a fast. In other words, you must be cognizant that you are going to fast the next day if it's an individual. Ketzed mekablim, how do you accept the fast? Kishispal tefilas mincha, when you daven mincha before the fast day. At the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you say, mochor ehe betanis, tomorrow I'll be in a fast. V'gomer beliva, and you make up in your heart, lisana samacha, that you're going to fast the next day. And there's other nuskos over there of exactly how you do it, if it's in shomea tefila, or at the end of the davening, there's different ways to say it. But it's just simply, even if you say in English, tomorrow I plan on fasting, that's good enough.
Yeah,
but you're going to start fasting the next day, right? Even though he's going to eat at night, he's saying, I'm going to eat at night. Lo hivsu klum, he didn't lose anything. Even if he makes up in his heart, you know, I'm going to fast 3 days in a row, 4 days in a row. Remember, the group, we can't make it on a congregation, because not everybody can do it, but as individual figures he can. Even though he eats every night in between, well, here's Satanas, he doesn't lose his fast days. What does he mean? You don't have to say every Erev fast that you plan on fasting. That is what he's saying, is like this. If you're going to have one fast day only, then mincha before, you have to say to yourself in the mincha Shmoneh Esrei at the end, I'm going to fast tomorrow. I'm doing it for a fast. What if you're fasting 3 days in a row? You only have to do the first day, I'm going to fast for 3 days in a row. You don't have to every day, the mincha before, say I'm going to fast again, because you're already in mid-fasting stream, and it's obviously you're fasting for that. Baruch Hashem, we did 10 halachas today. All right, shkoyach, guys.
What do you mean you say in mincha?